Amen. Thank you so much, Doug and Kathy. Isn't it great for us to be together this morning as all three for this combined service? And we're calling it Solid Rock Celebration Number One. And it's something we'd like to do quarterly, usually on the last Sunday of those five Sunday months. And with this first one, we want to launch the use of our new church name. Even though it may be January, before everything is changed legally with the state government and thus with our bank, we're ready to start referring to ourselves as Solid Rock Christian Fellowship. However, until everything is legal, please continue to write First Baptist Church on your giving checks. Do that until further notice. And I hope that all of you can join us for lunch, during which we will have some fun together around the tables. We'll hear some salvation and baptism highlights. We'll vote on the new elder council, which begins its work in January. We'll have a prayer of dedication for our church, for our new name, and for our elders. Now, we have five new members that we also were going to introduce during that lunch celebration. But because not all can come to that, it's my privilege to introduce to you now the new members that are listed in the bulletin. So as I introduce you, please stand, and then after all stand, we will express our welcome with our applause. From our Revive community, Barbara Crowley. From our Latino community, Luis Manzo. From the traditional community, Bob Yarius, Phil and Rosaline Johnson. Let's give them a really warm welcome. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. There's one other thing that I want to introduce this morning, that being a new prayer emphasis. As you know, our mission is that of joining God in loving people into following Jesus. Joining God is deliberately placed first, for without that priority, we will not effectively carry out the rest of our mission. Joining God is primarily expressed in our prayer life as individuals and as a church. And we will continue to explore ways on how best to do that. But one approach that we as a transition team are requesting of you is that every day at 7 a.m. or 7 p.m., or it won't hurt to do it both times, we pause and pray for our church. And to facilitate that, we will present weekly areas of prayer emphasis for each day of the week. The requests for this week are printed on the third page of the sermon outline. And if all of us will continue to pray each day for these requests, I believe God will bring a great response, great blessing to our church. May I also recommend that these weekly requests also be used by our fellowship groups and other small groups that meet together. Now, to serve as a reminder to pray daily, we have ordered and received wristbands like the one that I'm wearing this morning. And what's printed on each band is simply 7 o'clock, reminding us it's time to pray. And these wristbands will also be available during our lunch celebration as well. I just invite you to participate in this unified prayer focus. Now, because of this unique day, I want us to focus on our new name and also to teach the next couple verses in our study of 1 Peter, which happens to go together quite nicely. So let's turn to 1 Peter 3 and the outline entitled Solid Rock Blessing. Follow along as I read 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Solid rock blessing is what I want us to think about this morning. I am confident that what all of us desire for our church is that we be a positive influence, a blessing to our community. So let's take our new name as a guide on how we can do that. From the first two words, solid rock, I think of what we saw in chapter 2 a few weeks ago of 1 Peter, about Jesus being our living cornerstone. I think of Ephesians 2:20, where Paul refers to the household of God, the church, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Both passages communicating that as we seek to be and build God's church, Jesus must be our focus. He must be our guide. He must be the one with whom we align as we live out our lives and our mission as a church. He is the central figure in our message. He is the head, the chief shepherd, the builder, the teacher of the church. We're not here to proclaim a political message. We're not here to proclaim the politically correct philosophy that any and all roads lead to God. Instead, we are here to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Also, speaking of solid rock, when Jesus was on this earth, Matthew 16 tells us about a conversation Jesus had with his disciples in which he asks them, who do people say that I am? What are people saying about me? And after hearing from the disciples what some of them were hearing, Jesus said to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And immediately Peter speaks up and says, you, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. To which Jesus said, Peter, on that rock, on that confession that Jesus, I am the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, upon that solid rock confession, I will build my church. And so because Jesus is our cornerstone and the builder of the church, let's bless our community by affirming, reaffirming our alignment with Jesus Christ. May our community be so blessed because we affirm the truth and proclaim the truth about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then also, solid rock. Several months ago, we studied the teaching of Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And at the end of that teaching, Jesus compares people who build their lives upon an unstable, sandy foundation with those who build their lives on a solid, stable rock foundation. The difference between the two being how they respond to Jesus' authoritative teaching, how they responded to the Word of God. As we sometimes sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. If we are to bless our community, let's not only affirm our alignment with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone, but let's also build our lives and ministry upon the solid rock foundation of God's authoritative word. What I'm saying is that the term solid rock highlights our commitment to Jesus Christ as the builder of our church. And it highlights our commitment to his word, the scriptures, the solid foundation upon which we build our lives and our ministry. And then the third word, solid rock, Christian. The word Christian is first seen in Acts chapter 11, where we read that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, were first called Christians in this city called Antioch. There's some evidence to support that these followers of Jesus were called Christians by the pagans, who used that term as a word of mockery. Those Christians, those followers of Jesus, they didn't say it in a complimentary way. And today, the word Christian is used so loosely that it has lost its meaning, such as we are a Christian nation. But as solid rock Christian fellowship, let's bless our community by modeling the authentic meaning of Christian as we wholeheartedly commit to following Jesus. Even if our community mocks who we are and how we live and what we believe, may they see in us what it really means to live out the values and the teachings of our Lord and Savior. And then the word fellowship. Solid rock, Christian fellowship. It's a word that speaks of sharing what we have in common. When some golfers get together and enjoy the experience of playing that sport together, they're having a golf fellowship, a sporting fellowship. Sometimes what we call Christian fellowship is really social fellowship, enjoying social interaction, usually involving our common love for food. But the true sense, in the true sense of the biblical meaning, Christian fellowship, it's a word that speaks of sharing our lives in Christ. It's a word about partnering with each other in following Jesus in the context of his body, the church. It's a word that speaks of lovingly committing ourselves to each other's well-being, physically and spiritually. It's a word of sharing with each other who we are and what we have in Christ, and together sharing that with those who don't yet know him. It's a word that speaks of joining each other, partnering with each other in the mission and the work of the church. What I'm saying this morning is that as solid rock Christian fellowship, let's be a blessing to our community. By building our lives and ministry upon the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ and his word, by modeling the true meaning of Christian in our relationships and interactions with our community, and by growing a healthy fellowship that reflects devotion to each other and to our Lord's mission. Let's commit to living out that name, Solid Rock Christian Fellowship. So with that in mind, let's come to today's text from 1 Peter 3, two short verses, which portray the attributes of people who contribute to a healthy fellowship. You see, Peter's original readers are living in a context of persecution from unbelievers, which is likely to increase. And Peter knows from Jesus that a healthy fellowship will greatly enhance their ability to cope with the pressures that are coming. So notice how verse 8 starts. Finally, all of you. Now, finally says to me that Peter is wrapping up a section of thought. After reminding them throughout chapter 1 and the first few verses of chapter 2 about who they are in Christ, he starts verse 11 to talk about their conduct in light of their position in Christ and in light of the hostile environment that they are facing. So from verse 13 on in chapter 2, he elaborates on that conduct. And a key word throughout that section is the word submission. Be subject to. It's a word that speaks of putting yourself under. It's the opposite of putting yourself over others. It's putting yourself under others for a godly purpose. And it's a term which is elaborated upon throughout the New Testament. There's an interesting paragraph in Ephesians 5. It's printed on your outline, which begins with a call to a careful walk, which is also Peter's call. It's a call to understand what God's will is in our conduct as foreigners in a pagan world. That call to understand God's will is followed by a command. The command is be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's will for believers, to be filled, to be controlled, to be governed, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Following that command in that Ephesians 5 paragraph are parallel clauses. And those clauses point out the results. They point out the evidence that we are being filled with the Spirit, the evidence of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, the evidence of ministering to others in uplifting ways. There's the evidence of a singing, joyful people, a song in our hearts. There's evidence of being a thankful people. And the last evidence of being filled with the Spirit is submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, one indication of whether or not I am Spirit-filled or self-filled has to do with whether or not I am submissive in my relationships with people. Self-filled people can't do that well. Now, how that submission looks is described throughout the New Testament, and we noticed a few of those the last few weeks in 1 Peter. For example, chapter 2, verse 13. We see how submission works in our relationship with civil authority, with government. Chapter 2, verse 18, we see how it looks in the workplace. Chapter 2, verse 21, we see the example of Jesus who submitted to the Father and gave himself for us, for our forgiveness, for our salvation, submitting himself, in a sense, to us so that he might serve us and fix our greatest need. And then chapter 3, verse 1, we see how submission looks in the life of the wife, particularly living with an unbelieving husband. And then verse 7, we see how it looks in the husband who cares for and ministers to and submits himself to his wife in order to meet her needs. And then Peter says, finally, all of you. All of you. This is how submission looks in our relationships with each other within the church family. In other words, Peter is giving some descriptors of a healthy Christian fellowship. If we want to build a healthy fellowship, which is essential if we want to bless our community, here are the building blocks, the ingredients of that healthy fellowship. Beginning with unity of mind. Literally, to be of like mind. A healthy fellowship means that we are like-minded. That doesn't mean that we all think alike, that we all agree on every issue, but it has the idea of oneness of purpose. That being to love each other, serve each other, love and serve our God, so that the church can fulfill its mission. It means that we all commit ourselves to the mission, joining God, loving people into following Jesus. It's the opposite of being governed by my mind, by my individual self-centered preferences and interests. I remember when I was interviewed for a pastorate in my late 30s. One of the deacons said to me at the time of the interview, "I think God has written Ichabod over our front door. So you may want to think twice before coming." I came anyway. And shortly after beginning there, I got a clue as to what the deacon meant. When one of the other deacons pulled me aside, he says, "I want you to know my philosophy. It's the church's job to keep you poor, and it's the Lord's job to keep you humble." And then he told me, "I want you to know ahead of time, I'm going to vote no on any proposal that I bring to the deacons and to the church." His reasoning, he didn't want me to get prideful. Instead, he was very prideful about being divisive and non-submissive. I did appreciate his honesty. And I thought to myself, this ought to be a lot of fun here. But I went into that church with the commitment, the best thing I can do is teach God's word. That's the only thing that will change people's hearts. They weren't used to that. And fortunately, over the next few years, God did a great work in his heart and in the church as he was convicted by God's word and repented of his proud, divisive spirit. He was able, Hebrews 13, 17, to submit to leadership and support them, even though he may not always have agreed. And coincidentally, the church started to grow. Why? Healthy relationships built upon the solid rock of God's word are contagious. And they are influential in reaching people for Christ. Jesus made it clear that when unbelievers see believers who truly love each other, they start paying attention to what we say. If we are to be a blessing as a church to our community, it depends upon being healthy within the church. And a great building block is this unity of mind, unity of disposition, unity of purpose, the attitude that who we are and how we live together is far more important than our personal preferences and prideful arrogance. Unity of mind. And then sympathy, Peter adds, which has the idea of suffering with. That is to say, healthy fellowships have a way of supporting each other when tough times come. They have a way of rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. They share life together in good times and the bad times. Unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love is the next quality. That affectionate family-type love which is expressed to our fellow believers. And it comes from a heart that is filled with our Father's love, something that spills over because we're living in a healthy relationship with God. Unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, or as some translations put it, compassionate. Believers who contribute to a healthy fellowship are people who see a need, and they have a heart to address that need with compassion and with tenderness. And then a humble mind. It's that disposition, the opposite of which is pride. Humble people never forget the contrast between who they are, who they were without Christ, and who they are in Christ. They see themselves as marvelously rescued from bondage to sin and self by God's amazing grace, which no one deserves. And they see that anything of spiritual value in their lives is totally a work of God's grace. And because they're humbled by such grace, they have no inclination to judge. Instead, they forgive and bless just as they've been blessed and forgiven by God. And thus, being humbled, the next verse, they do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, they bless. That is, when they've been wronged, they have no inclination for revenge, but instead they intentionally respond to abuse with goodness. Just as God blessed us in our rebellion by offering his grace, so healthy fellowships respond to those who hurt them with the grace that they themselves have received. Now notice why we should build and nurture these qualities in verse 8 and respond in verse 9 to abuse with blessing. The verse says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. God called us to himself. He teaches us how to live so that he might bless us. Peter's point is that being and building a healthy fellowship composed of believers who are committed to unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, a humble mind, a non-retaliatory spirit, that's to invite the blessing of God upon our fellowship. And to the degree to which we are blessed as a fellowship is the degree to which we will be a blessing to our community. You see, as a church, we have blessed our community with some wonderful projects, particularly those that minister to the physical needs of people in our community. And we again have that opportunity to bless our community with the Thanksgiving Box Project, which is the emphasis this month. We bless our community every week with soup kitchen ministry, master's closet ministry. These are wonderful things. But even better is when we bless our community with the gospel that brings people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, who alone can address our spiritual needs of forgiveness and eternal life. And my conviction is that evangelism and discipleship are not so much the product of a program, but are the product of a healthy, loving, humble, caring, submissive fellowship of people who are truly following Jesus. It just flows. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so my conclusion this morning is a prayer that Solid Rock Christian Fellowship will follow Jesus and spiritually bless our community as God blesses us with submissive, harmonious relationships. When Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Solid Rock Christian Fellowship, may Prescott see in us that love for God and for each other. May God truly bless us so that we might be a spiritual blessing to our community. Amen.